morning to turn with me back to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. As we continue looking in our study in the book of Hebrews, this morning I want to talk about following the faithful. You remember playing the game when you were a kid, follow the leader? It's a fun game. In fact, yesterday I had the chance to take my kids to the park over at Fort Bend and really had a good time. In fact, my son wanted to lead us. He found a stick, a hiking stick, a walking stick, and he was going to use that. He said, whoever has that stick is the one that's the leader. He's the one that can take whoever is along with him. And so we did that. And every time that he would have to stop and tie a shoe or do something else, of course, we would just keep walking, get in front. He'd say, stop, stop, stop. You don't have the stick. You don't have the stick. I'm the leader. You have to follow me. It was fun. You know, in that game, it doesn't really matter who you follow, does it? Doesn't really matter. Everybody took their turn, so everybody could have some fun. But as you got older, you soon realized that it only doesn't matter who you follow in that game. That's it. Because in life, it does matter who you follow, doesn't it? You can't just follow any old leader, because there's a lot of leaders in this world, aren't there? Many of whom are very natural born leaders. And it's very difficult sometimes for us to choose who to follow. But we need to understand that it does matter who we follow. As you got older, your parents would even ask you, if you were to follow so-and-so and they were to jump off a cliff, would you follow them and would you jump off a cliff with them? You say, no, no, I'd never do that. I'd never do that. But we need to understand who we follow is absolutely critical in life. Absolutely critical. We see the importance of who you follow in Hebrews 6 as well. And this is what we're going to be looking at this morning. This entire chapter that we've considered is explaining to us in detail what we need to know about spiritual growth as Christians. Last Sunday, we looked at verses 4 through 8 and learned why spiritual growth is so important. Because, as we saw last week, a Christian must grow, or they really have no basis for the security that they claim. A Christian must grow, and there must be a visible demonstration of this growth, or they will not be safe. And I'd like to, at the outset here, read verses 4 through 8 to set the stage of what we're going to be covering this morning. We read last week, verse 4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, it's impossible for them to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth, which drinketh in the rain that cometh often upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receive blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. We see in these verses a very severe warning to those who are falling away from the Lord Jesus Christ. We also see here a stimulus for us to examine our own hearts and our own walk with the Lord. These verses that we read were meant for that purpose. But then we come to verse 9. Remembering what we just looked at in verses 4 through 8, let's read verse 9. It says this, but beloved, we are persuaded of better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak, referring to verses 4 through 8. And this is verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Verse 9, it says, we are persuaded, beloved, of better things of you. What an encouragement that verse must have been to those who received this letter. Even though the writer gave a stern warning in verses 4 through 8, now he explains that he is confident that what he was warning them against was not actually present in their lives. In fact, he saw real evidence of spiritual growth in their lives. He saw it. He said, we're persuaded that there's something better in your life. In other words, we are seeing things that do accompany salvation. He saw things like sorrow for sin. He saw fruits of hatred of sin in their life. Perhaps he saw a genuine humility in their lives before God and before each other. Perhaps he saw a peace in their hearts that passes all understanding. This is real fruit, things that do prove to us and prove to the world that we are sons and daughters of God. Perhaps he saw the principle of obedience, which again is something that will come out of a life that has the Spirit of God dwelling in it. Perhaps he saw the spirit of prayer in their life. These are things that accompany salvation, that he saw visibly in their life and was persuaded and convinced that they were children of God. Perhaps it was a continuous transformation into the image of Christ. And so that is what prodded the writer to say, I am persuaded of better things of you. And I see in your life things that do accompany salvation, even though I gave this grave warning in verses 4 through 8. So now, this morning, as we come to this passage, the Lord wants you to know how you can grow in your personal walk and relationship with Him, and how you can continue to grow and persevere. You see, in the very first part of this chapter, He told you about the importance of growth, how we need to not just lay again the foundation of the doctrines of Christ, but go on to perfection to grow. He's talking about spiritual growth. He's saying you and I ought to grow as believers. And then he gives a warning saying that if you're not growing, you need to wonder if there's the principle of life within your heart. Are you a Christian? And then he says, if you are a believer and these things are present in your life, this is how you're going to grow as a Christian. This is what we're going to be focusing on this morning. How to grow and how to persevere as a believer. We will learn that genuine Christians can be and will be secure in their hearts because they will persevere to the end till they reach the shores of heaven. This will be demonstrated in their life in an ongoing way. They will persevere. What does that word persevere mean? I looked it up in the American Heritage Dictionary. Sometimes we wonder what some of these words and terms mean. Persevere means this: to persist in or to remain constant to a purpose, an idea, or a task in the face of obstacles or discouragement. I think that's a very good definition of what perseverance is. To persist in or remain constant to a purpose, an idea, or a task in the face of obstacles or discouragement. And if we apply that word persevere to our lives as Christians, we will recognize that perseverance as a Christian basically means to persist in your walk with God. To persist in and to continue in, no matter what the struggles are outside of this life, no matter what the discouragement that you face, no matter what obstacles you see, no matter what the devil tries to throw at you, a Christian perseveres by remaining faithful to what God has called him to. And so this morning, I believe these verses talk to us about how we persevere. How we persevere. You know, yesterday when I took my kids on this hike, I went to Fort Bend, and I was trying to take a small hike to be able to see Fall Creek, and then I was going to take another trail back, a shortcut, and try to make it back to the van so we could get home at a decent hour and get ready for bed and get some supper and things like that. Well, turns out I missed our turn for the shortcut. So we ended up taking a really long hike. And by the end of the hike, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but when I have worked hard or hiked hard or even ran hard, I start to itch. My legs start to itch. My back starts to itch. I start to itch all over the place. And about halfway through this hike, I really started to itch, and I was getting tired. And I know my kids had to be tired. I know they were getting exhausted. I was getting exhausted. And if we had just quit our hike right then and there, we would still be at Fort Bend, the park there. We would still be there. Perseverance doesn't mean just starting out on the trail. It means completing the trail, getting done with it. And as you can see, we made it through. We made it to the end. I had to piggyback ride my kids a little ways. But we made it back. We persevered to the end. And that is what a Christian will do in their life if they truly are believers. There is a demonstration of perseverance. They're going to persist and continue in their life with Christ until they reach the shores of heaven. It is something that will be lifelong and lasting. If someone who does not persevere, as we looked at verses 4 through 8, a Christian, if they're not persevering or they're not growing, there really is going to be a false sense of security to people if they do not experience this perseverance in their life. So just how does one who is truly saved persevere in their faith and walk as a Christian? This is what I really want us to consider. How does a Christian, a true Christian, persevere in their faith and walk as a Christian? I believe it's by following closely to those who are faithful. To those who are faithful. You know, it is important that we don't just follow any old leader. Because some leaders will take people down the wrong path. You need to follow a faithful leader. Someone who is following after the right path. So that you can follow after that right path as well. You know, there is a very strong leader in the world today. And I'm not even about to pronounce his name, but he lives in Iran. And if you hear that word Iran, you probably know who I'm talking about. He's been on the news constantly, it seems, for months now. I don't want to say his name because I would hatcher. It's a long, unusual name. But he is a very strong and powerful leader, isn't he? He is leading his nation of Iran to produce nuclear fuel and, he claims not to, to acquire nuclear weapons. But he is a strong and powerful leader. And his nation, many of which, are following him as well. He is not a good example of someone to follow as a Christian. We ought not to follow a man like that. But we ought to follow faithful leaders. Leaders who are faithfully following the Lord himself. We are not to follow those who would lead us astray or who would jump off the cliff wanting us to, like a lemming, follow after. But for a Christian to persevere, they must follow the faithful. So how can you do that? First, we're going to look at three aspects of this faithful following of the Lord. First, in order to persevere, you must rest in the faithfulness of God. Look at verse 10. Again, it says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." This entire verse not only talks about the demonstration of someone who is living their life for the Lord, but it focuses on, rather, not their faithfulness to God, but rather the faithfulness of God. It says in the first part of verse 10, "For God is not unrighteous to forget." We, in order to persevere in our walk and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, must always, first and foremost, rest, not in our faithfulness, but in the faithfulness of God himself. You must never follow someone who is not faithful. If someone was notorious for getting lost, why would you ever ask that person for directions? If you were trying to get up to Indianapolis, perhaps you wanted to go to a restaurant up in downtown Indianapolis, and you knew that someone had been there, yet you know that they often get lost as they travel down those one-way streets and it's hard to maneuver and hard to navigate. Why would you ever ask that person, how did you get there? They might tell you one way or another way, but why would you ever ask somebody for directions if you know they always get lost? Go to MapQuest or go to Google Maps and figure out another way, another destination. But you should only follow people who are faithful and who are able to get you to that destination. In order for you and I to persevere as Christians, remaining constant and persistent in our walk with Christ, despite any obstacle or discouragement, we must follow and rest in our faithful God. This is the absolute basis and foundation of security for a believer. The absolute groundwork for perseverance for a true Christian and true eternal security is not on our faithfulness to God, but rather His faithfulness to us. John Morris once wrote this concerning a passage in Matthew. He said this, "It is one of the most precious things about the Christian faith that our continuance in eternal life or our perseverance depends not on our feeble hold on Christ, but on His firm grip on us." Isn't that an amazing statement? To think that when we are believers, we may falter, we may fail, but the real crux of the matter is His faithfulness to us. Your perseverance as a Christian depends upon the faithfulness of God. That's what it depends upon. Without His great faithfulness, you and I would never have been saved. And you and I could never persevere. The Bible says it's by the hand of Jesus Christ that all things consist. All things are held together because of the power of Jesus Christ. And so it is of our own eternal walk with Christ. It depends upon Him. If it wasn't for the faithfulness of Christ, we would not and never be saved. It is His faithfulness upon which we are saved. And that is why we must always rest in the faithfulness of God. And this morning I want to consider first some of the faithfulness that we see in God. If you'll turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, we see God's faithfulness to His own person, to His own nature, to His own character and attributes. God is a faithful God, and He is the one that we must rest in. It says in 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, because He cannot deny Himself. What an amazing verse. Even if we do not believe, even if we falter in our life and relationship with Him, we are the ones who become unfaithful. It is God who always remains faithful. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful because He cannot deny Himself. That is one of His attributes. That is one of His characteristics. That defines His very nature. God is a faithful God, and He will always be faithful. And that is why we can rest our security upon what God has done and who God is and what He promises to do for those who believe in Him. God is faithful to His person. But we also see His faithfulness to His plan. Back in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 7, you'll turn there with me, in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, we see His faithfulness to His plan of salvation. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. We read, "Wherefore, He, referring to God, is able also to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." In this verse, and among other verses, we see that God's plan of redemption that has occurred from the very beginning of the foundation of the earth, even present to today, where Christ is working in heaven today, we see God's plan and God's faithfulness to it. You know, Christ's life was not something that just happened. It was planned from eternity past. It was planned that Jesus Christ would live in this world. And can you imagine what Jesus Christ, who was holy and perfect in His own nature, can you imagine Him living in this world with sin and with danger and with struggles? Imagine how holy God must have felt amongst His unholy creatures. Perhaps that's why the Bible calls Jesus Christ a man of sorrows. Perhaps because everywhere He turned and everywhere He looked, He was grieved in His spirit because He saw sin and the effects of sin on the creature. And yet Jesus Christ lived in order to fulfill His plan. We also notice that Jesus' death here is not just something that happened. It wasn't by accident. It was something that Jesus Christ performed in faithfulness to the plan that was established before the foundations of the world, it says. Not only His death, but His resurrection. When Jesus Christ rose from the tomb, again, breaking the power of sin and breaking the power of death, it was not just something to show His power, it was also to fulfill His plan. The plan that was for all ages, for the redemption of those that were His. And also, we see Jesus' own ministry of intercession in verse 25 here. This was all part of His plan to save them to the uttermost, those that come unto God by Him. You see, God is faithful to save. God is faithful in His plan. God is someone who, when He promises to save someone who believes in Him, and they believe with Him, and He puts the Spirit of God in their life, He will save them to the uttermost. He is faithful to His plan. The plan will be fulfilled. The plan will be accomplished. And the plan will always be faithful. Jesus Christ is faithful to His plan. We also see His faithfulness to His promises. If you keep your finger in Hebrews chapter 6, we'll turn back there. But John chapter 10, we see God's faithfulness to His promises. John chapter 10, God's faithfulness to His promises. We sang about some of these promises in the songs that we sang this morning. In John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said this, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." This is a promise that He makes to His sheep. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one," Jesus says. We see in these verses His faithfulness to His promise. What God promises, He is able also to perform. He will keep His promise. And this is why our perseverance and our security as a Christian does not rest upon our faithfulness, because we are not faithful very often. We often fall, we often backslide, we often sin, but rather we must rest upon the faithfulness of God. That is the bedrock upon which our security must be based. It's His faithfulness to His person, His faithfulness to His eternal plan of redemption, His faithfulness to His promises, that what He says about eternal life He will perform, but also His faithfulness to His people. His faithfulness to His people. Again, keeping your finger in Hebrews 6, but turning back to Romans chapter 8, we see God's eternal faithfulness to His people. In Romans 8, verse 35, we read, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" Stop there. Sometimes we feel like things separate us from the love of God, don't we? Sometimes we feel like we've been forsaken. Sometimes we feel like we've been left. Sometimes we feel like there's no hope. And yet, our perseverance does not rely upon our feelings or upon our own faithfulness, but it must rest as a bedrock upon the faithfulness of God to His people. "Who shall separate us from the love of God? As it is written, for Thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Our God is a faithful God. And your perseverance as a Christian depends upon resting in the faithfulness of your Lord. That must be the foundation upon which your perseverance and your security rests. It is not your feeble grip on Christ, but rather His firm grip upon you. But secondly, building upon this foundation, we further see in Hebrews chapter 6 that your perseverance as a Christian will also reflect the faithfulness of God. Not only must you rest upon the faithfulness of God, but then your life will reflect His faithfulness back to Him. Look at verse 10 again of Hebrews chapter 6. Verses 10 and 11. It goes on, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." You must always remember that apart from God's faithfulness, anything that you do for Him would mean nothing. Mean absolutely nothing. If it wasn't for God's faithfulness to His person and His plan, His promises, and even to His people, anything that we would try to do or say that we do for the Lord would mean absolutely nothing. And it gives some of those things here in verses 10 and 11. It talks about your work. It talks about your labor of love. And then it talks about your hope in these verses. All of these things, your work for Him, your labor for the Lord, and your hope in the Lord would mean nothing if it was not for the faithfulness of God. That is why that must be the bedrock upon our faith, is His faithfulness to Himself, to His promises, to His plan of redemption, and to you as His child, His people. However, because of God's faithfulness, something will take place in your life. Something will change in your life. And you will reflect His faithfulness back to Him. you will actually reflect His faithfulness back to Him. Again, it's not something that you work up, because often we do fall, often we do fail. Yet if we are resting upon the faithfulness of God, what's going to happen is the Spirit of God will produce in our lives those things that will reflect back His faithfulness to us. It's not our faithfulness to Him, but rather it's a reflection of His faithfulness to us. Sometimes when you find someone who knows where they are going, you want to follow very closely to that person and do whatever it is they do. Years ago, when we were traveling from Denver, Colorado and moving up to upstate New York, we had a little caravan going. My dad bought or rented a Hertz Penske truck to fit all our belongings in. And attached to that was our little camper trailer. And then my mom would be driving the station wagon. And then attached to that was a little dolly carrying and carting our other little vehicle. So we had actually four vehicles traveling down the road, traveling hundreds and hundreds of miles all the way from Denver, Colorado to upstate New York to our new home. And one of the things that we had a struggle with was when my dad was driving, my mom was following along, sometimes they would miss each other. My dad would turn over to another lane to pass someone, and then someone would cut off, and then miles would go before we would wonder, where's mom? Where's mom? She's somewhere back there. Maybe we need to slow down so she can catch up. Sometimes when we are trying to get to a place, it's very important for us to follow very closely so that we don't get lost. We've all experienced this. You follow someone in a car, and they start to speed up, and they go a little bit faster. You're like, oh no, now I gotta go faster so I can follow up. I gotta catch up. I gotta stay so close in order to find my way there. So it is when we come to the faithfulness of God. It says here in verse 11, it says, to show the same diligence. In other words, we need to show the same earnestness of following Christ that we once had. Remember the day when you first trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Remember what happened in your life? Remember the enthusiasm, the excitement that once was there? The writer of Hebrews is saying that you need to show the same diligence that you once had. When you had that first love of Christ, sometimes we have the same diligence that shows itself in other areas, but not in the most important. And this is a demonstration that you are, in fact, persevering in your Christian life. Is that when you are showing the same diligence by wanting to follow so closely to Christ that wherever He goes, you will go. That whatever He says, you will do. Whatever He does, you will do along with Him. And you want to stay so close because you know that your perseverance in Him rests upon His faithfulness to you. And that when you're following that close, you will reflect that faithfulness back to Him. What are some of these areas of faithfulness that you will reflect back to Him? Faithfulness and service. It says in verse 10, it says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work. This work can imply your labor and the energy that you have spent in the Lord's service. You know, a lot of you have spent a lot of time and a lot of energy in the work of the Lord. Some of you have worked hard to serve the Lord, and you've done so in many, many years. We can be faithful in our service to God because He is faithful in His service to us. Have there ever been a time in your life where you thought, maybe I should just give up? I'm tired, too old, I've done this, and I've done it for a long time. We need to realize that it's not so much our faithfulness in our service to Him, but rather it is the faithfulness of His service to us. And as we consider and contemplate His faithfulness in His work and service to us, we will want to follow Him so closely that we will serve Him faithfully every day, no matter what the obstacles, so that we will persevere along with Him. What does the Bible say? 2 Thessalonians 3:13, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary in well-doing. You have worked hard. Work harder still. You have served a long time. Serve longer still. But most importantly, do not rest the security of your salvation upon your works, but upon the faithfulness of God. Do not forget those works. The faithfulness of God that is rich toward us. And if we follow so closely to Him, we will reflect that faithfulness back to Him in our service to Him. Not only must we show a faithfulness in service back, but there will also be a faithfulness in love. Again, in verse 10 it says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. You know, it's not just the statement of love. We can sing the song, "Oh, how I love Jesus." That's a song the kids love to sing downstairs. "Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus." But you know, we need to be faithful in love by showing the love that we have toward Him. We must never forget that we can love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. Again, our faithfulness in love for God reflects His faithfulness in love toward us. We've already talked about His love toward us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. But we are to show this love by following closely to Him and continuing to do so by ongoing service to His people. It goes on in verse 10. The labor of love which you have showed toward His name in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. There's some other passages on your message guide that you can look at in John 21 and Matthew 25. But I would encourage you later on today, or perhaps tomorrow, to consider those passages and to realize that when you show your faithfulness and love to the Lord, it's going to be showed in love and faithfulness to others. Our love, care, and concern for the Lord will be reflected in our love, care, and concern for His people. But we can only be faithful in our love to God because He is faithful in His love to us. And as we reflect and recognize His love toward us, we will want to be so close to Him. We should not spurn His love. Have you ever loved someone so much and so dearly, and yet that person never reflected that love back to you? How did that make you feel? It's discouraging. It's hard. Sometimes it happens in families where a mother or father loves a wayward child. That child has left the family and has left their house and has left the Lord for many years. And those parents love that child with all their heart and with all their soul. They want and they long to see that child return. And they try to show that love by calling and writing letters, by stopping by from time to time, but that child never again responds to that love again. But oh, what joy comes in the heart of a parent whose child reflects that love back. Again, it wasn't the faithfulness of their love to their parent. Rather, it was the faithfulness of the parent's love toward them that drew them back. And so it is with the faithfulness of God's love. God's love is so great to His children that we should follow so closely. It is a greater love that no man has than that a man should lay down his life for his friend. And that is the type of love that Jesus Christ did for us. He is faithful in His love toward us. We ought to love Him in return by following closely in that same way. But we also see a faithfulness and hope. In verse 11 it says, "We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." This hope is possessing a strong and deep faith in what God has promised us. In other words, what God has promised He's going to perform, and you believe it and you hold Him to it. We can be faithful in our hope of God because He is faithful in His promises to us. Our God is a faithful God, and your perseverance depends upon reflecting the faithfulness of your Lord. This is someone who will not be the person that is warned against in verses 4 through 8. If you rest in the faithfulness of God and reflect His faithfulness back to Him, you don't have to worry about the warning that we see in these verses. Because God's work of grace in your heart and your life has produced abundant fruit because you're following Him faithfully because of His faithfulness to you. But you know, we are not the only ones that God is faithful to. We have, as we've looked at in the past, a great heritage of faith. It says also in the book of Hebrews, a great cloud of witnesses. And so third, we will also see that our perseverance will resemble the faithfulness of others to God. Our perseverance will not only reflect the faithfulness of God, but it will resemble the faithfulness of others to God. Look at verse 12 for a moment. It goes on and says that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That word follow, the followers here, really means to imitate others. To imitate people. You know, we are not the only ones who have ever had to follow Jesus Christ for salvation. You realize that? We have a grand heritage of faith that has lasted for centuries. And those who have followed Christ faithfully to the end are ones that we can imitate. Why? Because they have followed after Christ as well. They have reflected the faithfulness of God to them in their faithfulness to Him. Even as Paul said, be followers of me as I am of Christ. We can be followers of others as they are followers of Christ as well. Because those who, going before us, reflected the faithfulness of God themselves. If you turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, just a few pages over in verse 13, it talks about a few of these. Hebrews chapter 11 is describing for us this great hall of faith, these individuals that God has used to impact this world for Him. And it goes on in verse 13 of Hebrews 11, these all, referring to all the people that are mentioned in this chapter, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. These types of people are the real heroes for a Christian. These are the real heroes of life. You know, we have plenty of heroes. We have military heroes. I was watching on the Discovery Channel months ago about George Washington and how he was a military genius and military hero. We have him as a hero, as a national hero. Douglas MacArthur, again, a powerful military hero. We have political heroes. President Lincoln, who kept the Union together. President Reagan. These are some of the political heroes that we have. We even have heroes in the business world. Bill Gates, who made billions with his Microsoft Corporation. Warren Buffett, who made billions just through investment prowess and intelligence. But what about spiritual heroes? Do we have spiritual heroes in our lives? For a Christian, spiritual heroes ought to be the real heroes. Why? Because they faithfully followed Christ. One writer once said, we ought to imitate the saints in their faithful trust, perseverance, and zeal. We must do so because they reflected the faithfulness of God to them. This morning I want to leave you with the truth that God is a faithful God. This is how we persevere. It's by resting in our faithful God. It is by reflecting His faithfulness to us back to Him. And it is displaying it by resembling the faithfulness of others to God. For you to persevere as a Christian this morning, you must follow after your faithful God. You must follow Him as a follow the leader type of thing. But you must follow Him recognizing that He's not just any leader, He is the faithful leader. He is the one that you can draw so close to that will never lead you astray. After all, He is the one that promises to bring you where He is. John 14:3 says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He is worthy to be followed. He is worthy to be followed, and we must follow Him so closely because He is a faithful God to us. And only then can we persevere as a believer because we are following Him who has been so faithful to us. Let's bow together. Before we go to prayer, and I do want you to consider in your own heart some questions concerning the message that you've just heard. Who are you following as a Christian? Who are you following as a Christian? Are you following your faithful Lord, or are you following someone else? Are you following someone in your family? Are you following someone that is a friend, that calls himself to be your friend, and yet is leading you astray? Are you following after someone in this church? We must follow after your faithful Lord. And if you are following after the Lord, how are you following? Are you following far behind, or are you following closely? Are you following closely, so close that wherever He goes, you will see it and know it in an instant? You will follow faithfully because He has faithfully shown Himself to you. How are you following? Your perseverance as a Christian depends upon resting in the faithfulness of your Lord. It depends upon reflecting the faithfulness of your Lord back to Him. And it also will display itself as you resemble the faithfulness of others to God. So follow closely to your faithful God. Father, I thank You that You are our faithful God. I thank You that through the passages that we've read, we saw Your faithfulness to Your own person. You cannot deny Yourself. you remain faithful. We saw your faithfulness to your plan of eternal redemption. From eternity past to eternity future, it all revolves around Jesus Christ. We saw your faithfulness to your promises. Your promises that you keep and that you fulfill. You promise to save them to the uttermost who have faith in Christ. You promise to bring us home with you if we are your people. Help us to believe that and recognize that it's true. Father, you are so faithful also to your people. That great love that you have shown to us. That great love that nothing can separate us from. That great love that we must reflect also because you first loved us. Father, I pray that you'll help us to follow the faithful one. Help us to recognize that that is where our security lies. It's not in a false sense of security, but rather it is the real security that what Jesus Christ has done for us is the bedrock, the ground of our faith. And that what Jesus Christ is continuing to do in us and through us is a demonstration, an illustration of that wonderful salvation that he has wrought for us. Father, I pray that you'll help us to heed these words and to follow the faithful one. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.